This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Several years ago, I was preaching in a small town in the state of Tennessee. And I'll have to say honestly, it was not the most exciting meeting I'd ever been in. And one of the men of the church came to me. And he said, "You know, Brother Lambert, this is a dying church in a dying town." What? Not a very optimistic attitude, was it? Well, you see, we don't have to be that way. There's a prayer found in the Old Testament that I want to talk about today. And it's a prayer for revival. And if there was ever a time in American history that we need to be praying for revival in our nation, revival in our homes, and revival in the churches in the day in which we live, I hope you'll stay tuned as we discuss that subject today. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And if this is the very first time that you've ever watched the telecast, we want you to know that we are delighted to have you viewing today. And if you are a regular follower of Getting to Know Your Bible, can we thank you right now for doing that? Also, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. You say, "Well, Brother Lambert, why would you do that?" So that you can get to know your Bible. This is just a study aid. We'd like to make it available to each and every one of you today. And in order that you might know more about the Bible course, in order that you might know how to receive the Bible course and how you can study the Bible course, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'd like to read now from the book of Ezra, the 9th chapter, and I want to read verse number 8. "And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." It was some 450 years before Christ was born that God's people began to return from captivity. And in the book of Ezra, we learn that when they came back, they found the city in ruins. The temple was in ruins. Ezra found that the people that had stayed in their homeland had intermarried with the nations round about them. And it broke his heart. We're told in Ezra chapter 9 that he rent his clothes, that he was astonished at what he saw, and that he fell on his face in the presence of God. And he prayed the prayer that we just read to you in verse 8 of chapter 9. "Give us a little reviving." If there is a prayer that I have for us today, it is just that. That in the congregations of the Lord's people throughout the land, He would give us a little reviving. We pray, Father, that nationally, that there will be a revival of moral, ethical, and spiritual values. You say, well, Brother Lambert, I just want to ask you one question. Why should we be praying a prayer like that? Why should I be concerned about that? Why do we really need to have a little reviving in these days? Well, I think one of the reasons is because often we're not nearly as well off as we think we are. That was a problem with the church at Sardis. It was one of the seven churches of Asia to whom the Lord wrote a letter in the book of Revelation. And in the third chapter of that book, and in the very first verse of that book, he said that the church at Sardis had a name that they were alive, but they were dead. The church at Sardis was like a mannequin in a store window. It looked alive, but it had no life in it. It was like a petrified forest. It looked alive, but it wasn't not alive. There was no life in it. The church at Sardis had all of the form. It was kind of like an artificial flower. It looked like it was alive, a live flower, but there was no life in it. They had a name that they were alive and active in the Lord's work. But the Lord knew that they were dead. That was a problem of the church at Laodicea. Also in the third chapter of the book of Revelation. And then the Lord wrote to this church and said, thus saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works. That's almost as if he were saying, you may not know what you're doing. You may not know your real state, but I do. And he said, I want you to know that you are not hot, you're not cold, but you're lukewarm. And he said, because you're cold and not cold and hot and not, you're lukewarm and not hot or not cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. But these people gave their own self-evaluation. Why, they said, we're rich and we're increased in goods and we have need of nothing. But Jesus said, oh no, you're wretched, you're poor, you're miserable, you're blind, and you're naked. Seen through the eyes of God, the church at Laodicea was told to be zealous and to repent. What was the problem? They were not nearly as well off as they thought they were. So one of the reasons that sometimes we need to pray for God to give us a little reviving in these days is because we are not nearly as well off in the eyes of God as that we might assume we are. Another reason we need a little reviving is because it's so easy to forget. Do you remember the day that you gave your life to the Lord? Do you remember the day, maybe during some kind of a revival service, a gospel meeting, that you walked down the aisle when the preacher had finished his sermon and they were standing singing a song of encouragement? And you said, I'd like to be baptized into Christ today and I want to begin to follow Jesus from this day forward. And do you remember all of the resolve that you had in your heart? You resolve right then that I'm going to do my very best for the Lord. I'm not second best, but the best. I'm going to read my Bible every day, and I'm going to be a man or woman of prayer. And I'm not going to miss a single solitary service of the church. But then something happened, and you began to forget of the zeal and the enthusiasm that you had when you first became a Christian. Peter, in writing about the Christian graces in the book by his name, said, after enumerating those graces, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Oh, it's so easy to forget. It is so easy to forget. And if we do not make a practice, a constant practice of our Christian life and our Christian faith, we're going to begin to lose it. There are books of the Bible that I have committed to memory. For example, the book of Jonah being one of them. But if you were to ask me right now to quote the entire book of Jonah to you, I might stammer and stutter through it a little bit. Because you see, I've not been using it recently. As some of you might know, I had an extended illness for almost a year. And during that time, I was not able to preach on getting to know your Bible. And I thank God that I'm able to do so now. But I learned that during that period of time of not reading and studying those passages of Scripture that I needed to use in a sermon, the next time I started trying to do it, they didn't come to my mind as quickly. Why? It's so easy to forget. So I had to go back and remind myself and to refresh my memory. One of the reasons that we need a revival, it's easy to forget what we are supposed to be doing. I'll give you a third reason. I believe we need to pray that prayer, Lord, give us a little reviving in this place, is because it is easy to become engrossed, actually swallowed up, by the secular, materialistic world around us. And so many people have let that happen in their lives. They've let the culture determine what they're going to do. And they've let their jobs determine what they're going to do. And they've let the sporting events that they may be involved in determine what they're going to do. And on we could go. You see, it's easy to let things take over our lives. That's the reason that Jesus gave this warning, and I call it a double barrel warning for this reason. Jesus said, take heed and beware. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesses. It's easy to let the things of the world crowd the Lord out, isn't it? It's easy to let material things keep us from serving God as we ought. That's the reason Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 17, right after Paul had said that the love of money is the root of all evil in verse 10, he said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. We do not let the things of the world take over our lives. We need to be in charge and good stewards of the things with which God has blessed us. Well, what's going to happen when we have a revival? Now, that's the reason we need one, and I'm sure that you could give other reasons as to why we need to pray, Lord, give us a little reviving. But what's going to happen when we have one? And have we ever had a revival before? In Psalms 85 and verse 6, the psalmist said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? He said, I want you to do it again. Lord, you've done it before. Lord, please do it again. And there are times of renewal of our faith and our enthusiasm for God, our zeal for God, our zeal for doing right. And then maybe after a while, we let these things begin to drag us back, and then we need to pray, God, give us a little reviving in this hour. And so we sometimes need to say, Lord, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? And so, what's going to happen if we were to have a spiritual revival in our land today? I think, first of all, One of the benefits is that it would cause us to be very serious students of the Bible. The Bible is not a book. It is the book, God's book. And it is God's book because it tells us all we need to know about ourselves. Tells me about my origin. It tells that God created the heavens and earth. God created man from the dust of the ground. The Bible is God's book, and it's the greatest book ever written because it tells me the purpose of my living in this world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, about verse 31, that whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do in life, do it all to the glory of God. You see, our lives are to glorify God. That's our purpose for living. That's our reason for living, to glorify God. Even our Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Lord, glorify your Father which is in heaven. And everything that we do to help other people is not so that people will pat us on the back or draw attention to ourselves. It's that God might be glorified. And if I ever get to the point that I'm preaching sermons like I'm preaching today on television because I want to get the glory, that's the day that I need to let someone else take over. Because it's not to glorify anybody. It's not to glorify me. It's to glorify God Almighty. And the Bible is the greatest book that's ever been written because it tells me that I'm not going to stay in this world forever. And it tells me about eternal destiny. Jesus said, enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. We need to get ourselves on the straight and narrow way that leads to heaven above. So we need to get back in the Bible and to study the Bible, to read the Bible. One of the greatest deterrents to sin is the Bible. David said in the 119th Psalm, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, how we need to be students of the Bible. We need to be like those noble people that we read about in the 17th chapter of Acts in verse 11. These were noble, more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they searched their scriptures daily whether those things were so. We need to be daily students, daily readers of the Word of God. And the more we read the Bible, the more that we have God talking to us. And then we need to talk to someone else about what we have read in the Bible. So a revival will get us back into the Word of God. But a revival, a spiritual revival, will cause us to be people of prayer. People need to pray today. And there's so many things that for which we ought to pray. I recall writing a sermon one time, and I preached it after I wrote it. How long is your prayer list? We could ask you that question now. How long is your prayer list? And there is no end to the things for which we can pray. Absolutely no end. Jesus said in the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the very first verse of that chapter, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We ought to pray when things are going good in our lives. And that our prayers then ought to be filled with thanksgiving. We need to pray when things are not going good in our lives. And likewise, we can pray prayers of thanksgiving. We can be thankful that things are as well with us as they are. But that's also we can pray prayers of supplication to God where we're asking for His help. We need to be a people of prayer. We need to be praying for our country today. As a matter of fact, we need to be praying for every country throughout the world. We need to be praying for peace in the world, that men would lay down their armaments and they would fight no more. Pray. And we need to pray to God as if it all depended on God. And then we need to get out and we need to work as if it all depended upon us. We may ask God to supply our daily bread. And you might plant a garden and it produces fruit. But bless your heart, I'm telling you, God's not going to keep the weeds out of your garden. There's a part that we have in the answering of our own prayers. We pray for God to give us good health. But is God going to answer a prayer for good health if I'm putting things in my body that damage my body and I do not take care of my physical body? I think not. If I want God to answer that prayer, I've got to do my part in taking care of myself. We need to be a nation of prayer. One man of the past said that the spectacle of a nation on its knees is more awe-inspiring than the explosion of an atomic bomb. I suppose if he were living today, he would say the explosion of a nuclear bomb. I think he's right. Suppose this nation as a whole were to get on its knees and began to beseech God before his divine throne for help in this nation. I've said this about the churches of Christ throughout our nation, that suppose every church of Christ in the land on a certain Sunday at a certain time, regardless of their time zone, they would all do it at the same time. Of course, there would be a different time depending on the time zone. But every church, every congregation of the churches of Christ throughout America would gather in their buildings and at the same time have multiplied hundreds up into the thousands, up into maybe a million or more people praying to God for help in time of need. Do you think that would make a difference? Do you think that'd help in this land? Folks, a revival would get us back on our knees. And the New Testament church, if you'll study the book of Acts, went forward on its knees before there was ever, if you will just study that for yourself, starting with the first chapter and all the way through the book, before there was an event where souls were saved and good was done, it was all preceded by prayer. Always. If we began to pray, Lord, give us a revival today, it's going to make us more like Jesus Christ. You want to change this world? You want to change the state in which you live? You want to change the county in which you live? Your town, your city? You want to change the church of which you are a member? You want to change your family? You're going to change your home life. Begin to live as close to Jesus every day that you possibly can. I'm thinking now passage in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 18, where Paul closed that chapter by writing, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We're to have the image of Jesus. Paul in the Roman letter said we're to be conformed to His image. Philippians chapter 2 and 5 says we're to have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and 9 says we're to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that means we're to have the spirit of forgiveness, Do you hold a grudge? We're to have the spirit of love about us. Do you hate certain people because of their politics or the ideology? Do you say ugly, hurtful things about them? If we're to conform to the image of Jesus Christ and have His mind, not only are we to have love in our hearts and forgiveness in our hearts, we are to be people of mercy. Mercy is where we have outgoing goodwill toward other people. Oh, how we need to be like Jesus. Jesus was such a good man. He wasn't just a good man. He was God in the flesh. And as He told the rich young ruler who came running to Him, He said, there's only one good, and that's God. And Jesus is good. God is good. And Jesus is a member of the Godhead. Oh, how we need to be like Jesus. We'll have a revival if we will begin to live like Jesus would have us to live. We need to get serious with God, people. We need to get serious with Jesus. We need to get serious with the Holy Spirit. We need to get serious about heaven and going there one day. And let the mundane things of this world take a back seat to everything that is good and high and holy. That's why Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Revival. My prayer for us today is, oh Lord, give us a little reviving. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today. In the closing moments, let me encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And also right now, please pick up the telephone, call for the free Bible correspondence course. We'll mail that out to you as quickly as possible. Or if you prefer taking it online, you can do that as well. The instructions are on the screen. I want you to know that we love you, we care for you, and we do this because we want you to get to know the Bible better. And we pray, God, that that the Lord will be with you, and until we meet again, may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.